Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Welcome to the Capital Club Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Adams. Every week, we bring on some of the brightest leaders around the world to discuss issues facing high net worth individuals and family offices today. Hello and welcome to the Capital Club Podcast. Today, I have with me Monica Clare. Monica is a global consultant specializing in conflict management through strategic leadership. An expert in psychological safety, she shares her insight and deep wisdom to help individuals and businesses improve their working environments. Combining a unique background in finance and meditation, Monica facilitates courageous conversations to release uncertainty and inspire creativity. Monica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Brian.
So I got kind of, you came on my radar after I heard about this paper you co-wrote, this academic paper, which we're going to get into in depth, but maybe to provide some context and some background, who are you and what do you do?
Wow, that's such a big question. So I'm Monica Clare, and I consider myself, first of all, a mediator. And I also do executive coaching. And I have a specialization working with family enterprises. And there's a long history about why I ended up in that space. I wasn't planning on it. I kind of just landed there. And I've been a mediator for about 20 years. And I've always had this question about why people have conflicts. And I guess it was the end of 2018 where I found the answer to that question. And then I just did a deep dive into learning more and more about conflicts and what's driving conflicts and what can we do about it. So I guess that's what I do, is I help people understand and resolve their conflicts.
So what's the personal journey, though? What's the story behind 2018 and what led you to this work?
So I grew up in a family business. My grandfather invented the first automatic tobacco harvester in this area, and it became an international success. So I was about 4 or 5 when he invented it. So I grew up in that environment. It planted the seeds for me that I was very interested in business. I was very interested in economics and finance. So I ended up going to university, studying all those things. And at the time, my goal was to be a CEO of a multinational corporation, because that's what I kind of grew up with. The family business went bankrupt when I was about 17. So that led me on a different trajectory, but still with this passion for business and finance. I did become a financial analyst and a CPA, but then I got very ill. So I wasn't able to work anymore. So I just kind of wandered around trying to figure out, you know, what am I supposed to do, until I ended up in Vienna, Austria, studying international systems. And that gave me this real passion again to come back to understanding the problems on the planet. So that's where I really started tuning into conflicts. And in 2016, I came back to Canada. My own parents had in the meantime started a manufacturing company again. We were trying to transition from them running it to me running it. It didn't work out. So again, I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? And I started putting seeing the thread that was running through the whole journey with family business and conflict and transitioning from one generation to the next. And then really finding out what was the reason for all the conflicts. I experienced it personally. I lived it. found the answers for me and just decided that this is something I wanted to share with others.
And I'm sure our listeners do appreciate the candor around the failures, right? I think we can learn a lot more from other people being open and transparent about their failures than their successes very often. And this story, this narrative that you have yourself of this through line that you discovered of the family business and then this failed generational transition occurring between your parents and yourself, what was that through line? And was it interpersonal conflicts, family dynamics?
Yeah.
What was the issue that you saw?
Well, now that I understand it, I can talk about it. So the one layer is it's called individual trauma. So I had my own personal trauma in my childhood. Growing up in that family business, there was a lot of dysfunction, what we call dysfunction. Now I understand it. It's actually a function. It's just results that we don't want. So there's my own personal or individual trauma. And then there's the intergenerational or ancestral trauma. So a lot of what I experienced were things that I inherited. So my own parents had their traumas that they passed on to me. My grandparents had traumas that they passed down and eventually ended up in me. And it goes all the way back. I mean, this is hundreds of thousands of years of evolution sitting right here. So there's a lot of information in our DNA. So understanding that I inherited quite a bit of these traumas. And then there's the collective trauma. So there's this third layer, and they're all embedded one inside the other. And the collective trauma are things like religious issues, the patriarchy, where women were not having as many rights as the men were. Racism is a collective trauma that even as a white-bodied person, I grew up in a traumatized environment just because racism was part of the culture. So all of those things have an impact on us that we're not consciously aware of. But now that I've been unpacking it, I can see how all of these different aspects do have an impact on the way we live our lives. Even the economic system itself, because I studied economics and I studied the financial systems, and seeing how there's so much trauma embedded in our economic and financial systems that's having a direct impact on the way we live our lives.
So there's a growing acceptance of this concept, especially within younger generations,
yeah,
right? Myself and down of this issue. And we could spend a lot of time exploring it, but let's just make the assumption that we agree that this exists. What do we do about it?
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you are interested in learning about how to be a better leader, if you're interested about how to transition your business successfully, what do we do?
Yeah. So the first step is being aware of it. And as you just said, you know, just accepting that this is true. Like, we can have long discussions about, is it true or not? But if we see this and say, yeah, that is actually my experience. I am noticing that the way the world works isn't really healthy for a lot of the people on the planet. If we accept that this is true, then we can start looking at, well, how am I showing up with this and accepting that I carry my portion of it? Every person who's born has a piece of it. No one person can solve all of it, but what we can do is work on our own share. We're all shareholders in this. We can work on our own share of this legacy and clean it up. So this is really about cleaning up my individual share of what culturally or collectively we are carrying. And that's the journey. That's really the leadership journey of saying, okay, I have this, I need to heal. So trauma is a wound. So we're all carrying a wound or many wounds. So how can I heal my wound? And everybody's different on how they do that. The way I do it is I teach people about nervous systems. So I use science. I love using science. The researcher in me that really needs some evidence-based verifying what we're talking about. So polyvagal theory talks about the nervous system. And so there's just this self-awareness of when I'm feeling relaxed or when I'm feeling triggered. So that's the first step. So just tuning into myself. And when I can do that, I can take responsibility for how something just beeped.
So is that the first step in avoiding these greater conflicts and conflagrations from escalating would be that we need to know ourselves and understand our own issues before we can get there. Is that right?
100%. That's the very first step, is owning our own reactions. So responsibility is the ability to respond. So if I'm responsible for myself, I'm able to respond to my own reactions, my own issues. That's the first step.
So then this would require people not projecting issues onto other relations that they have within the business or their family, and doing the self-work first, which for a lot of people is a very challenging concept.
It is really hard to do that. Yeah. It's a
lot. So what have you found to convince people that this is the starting point, especially older generations who maybe just aren't as accepting of this idea or this concept?
Yeah. I find that compassion is really important. So it's not about blaming anybody, right? So there's a lot of people, and I had this experience myself, like, oh no, it can't be me. It can't be me, right? And then it is, oh, it is me. But having compassion for myself. So there was no guilt or blaming myself for being the way I am, because it wasn't my fault, right? So just in the older generation, it's not your fault that you are the way you are. It's your responsibility, but it's not your fault. So the compassion for recognizing that we're all human, we've all got something, we've all got a burden, a legacy burden that we're carrying. And if you want to do the work, you can. And if you don't want to do the work, you don't have to. There's no obligation to do this.
And I think it's important to differentiate compassion from empathy, right? Mm. You don't necessarily need to have experience what that person experienced, or even really, and it's just this general understanding that there are hurt people in the world and that people are all going through a challenging time. Yeah. And it's more of a framework as opposed to putting yourself in their shoes necessarily. I think it's, people conflate the two, but they're two very different terms.
Yeah. It's really hard to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I mean, we can try, we can imagine, but there's so much in there. It's very difficult.
So how does this actually manifest itself? If you could give us like a real world example, or how does this show up in every day inside an organization, and what have you seen to be effective?
So what happens when people start to recognize, oh, that's me and I am reacting to something in another person, then we get some tools. Like, what do you do when you notice you're triggered? So there's all kinds of, we call them self-regulation. So we're self-regulating our nervous system. So putting that into practice, and that takes a while to get good at it. But so, you know, the easiest one is taking some deep breaths. Just, you know, take a minute and do some deep breathing, looking around the room. So that instinctive fight, flight, freeze reaction, which is our survival, we start to recognize, actually, my physical being is not in any danger right now. So taking some deep breaths, looking around the room, feeling your feet on the ground, feeling yourself seated in the chair, noticing, oh, I'm really not in any danger right now. So the brain starts to shift from that, I need to attack, I need to run away, or I need to just freeze, to I'm actually okay. So when we can self-regulate and calm our nervous system down, then we can stay engaged in the conversation with the other person without attacking, without defending ourselves, or just freezing. So we can see the interactions between people much more engaged. They can stay in the conversation and have a productive conversation. They're able to listen more.
And therefore, outcomes are better.
Much better outcomes. Yeah.
When you engage with a family for this, what do you have them do functionally? Or how does your practice actually work, boots on the ground?
Yeah. So what I do is I do education meetings. So teaching them about the nervous system, polyvagal theory, teach them about epigenetics, which is another science that proves that we actually inherit these things from our ancestors. I teach them about theory U, which is a bigger macro vision of what's going on in the world with all of this absencing, because people are just shut down, their nervous systems are shut down, versus being present with a calm nervous system. So there's a lot of theory in the beginning, just so they can have an intellectual context that makes sense. They say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then we go into the physical and emotional aspects. So there's a training that I do to help them start to become self-aware of their physical state, their emotional state, and their thoughts. So we do that in a group setting with no interaction. There's no conversation between them. There's no hot topics happening at all. So it's a very safe part of the meetings. And then I have some one-on-one. So I do some more in-depth training one-on-one so they feel safe with me and they can open up about their deeper issues. And then we go into the group and it's called a circle practice. So it's not a conversation with each other. It's a sharing. So each person gets to share what's going on for them and everybody else is instructed just to listen and notice what's happening in their physical, emotional, and mental states. So again, it's just practicing listening and noticing what happens to you when you hear somebody else speak about something that's a hot topic. And so there's an agreement, there's a shared agreement that we're just here to listen to the person who's speaking. And if the person who's speaking has a real hot topic that is showing up, because it's a system, they're just representing one piece of the system. So I will do something called process work with that individual and everybody else is there to witness it and watch what I'm doing so that they can start to learn how to interact with somebody who's triggered and I'm staying calm. So I call that being in your adult self, right? When we're triggered, we're in our child self. And when we're calm, we're in our adult self. So everybody gets to practice and witness what it looks like and feels like to stay in your adult self when somebody else is triggered.
Exceptional family offices, family enterprises, wealth management, and financial services organizations require superior leadership to successfully thrive in today's competitive environment. This is why I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, MAC International. MAC International is recognized as the premier boutique firm that specializes in providing retained executive search and strategic human capital consulting solutions to single and multi-client family offices, family enterprises, and the full spectrum of wealth management advisory, investment management, and financial services firms that serve ultra-high net private investors and family offices on a national and international basis. If you're interested in learning more about MAC International, visit their website at macinternational.com. So I've been in therapy for a while myself, and I will experience share that this can be very challenging for certain personality types, especially men, who when they hear about an issue or a challenge or a problem, immediately want to fix it. And the ability to just sit there and listen and restrain that initial motivation is very hard for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And I had this experience with the fathers. It's usually the fathers, right?
Of course.
And I've had this, it was a beautiful moment. And I actually wrote about it in this paper where the daughter was sharing a very painful experience. And then everybody was instructed to listen. And I went right to the dad and I said, so how does that land in you? How do you feel when you hear your daughter say that? And right away he wanted to fix it, right? And that's an instinct to create safety. That's a very logical, rational thing to do when you're trying to create safety is, oh, we got to fix this. And I just did a little intervention with him. I said, no, we don't want to fix anything here. So helping him, because that's his nervous system triggered, right? So I helped him co-regulate his nervous system. And I said, we just want to know if it's available to you, how does it feel when you hear your daughter say that? And because we'd already done some work together, he was able to take a breath and just sit there for a moment. And he said, I feel really sad. And you could see, like you could feel he was really touching his sadness. And the whole family was in, you could feel the tears in the space. And the daughter was just like this relief that she finally felt heard and felt by her dad was huge. Because that was something in the system. It wasn't just the daughter and the dad. It was something in the whole system that this reaction to fix things when they weren't feeling comfortable was a pattern. So we were able to notice the pattern, go right into it, and actually break the pattern. And after that, it didn't show up anymore. Or if it did show up, it was very quickly noticed and they didn't go there.
Yeah, this goes to my point that I make on the show ad nauseum, which is most of these family traumas occur because of a lack of relational capital as opposed to not having the correct trust and estate plan or the right asset allocation. It's usually a lack of family therapy in some form or other that ultimately blows these things up. So if you're listening to this and this is a challenge, you think, and maybe we'll go a little bit deeper. If you're listening to this and you're a member of this rising next generation of leadership and the current leadership is not necessarily attuned to these type of systems and processes, how have you found success starting this conversation or engaging with someone like you so that it actually is successful?
When I explain that everybody has this and that if you choose to do this work, you actually help next gen and future generations not have to carry this burden. And that's why I like working with family businesses, because they have a strong incentive to not pass this on to future generations and to explain to them there's actual science that can back up everything that we're doing, that it's not a comfortable journey, but it's a rewarding journey, and that we have success. We know it works. We know this works. It's not even an experiment anymore. We know it works, but it takes a commitment.
Like anything, right?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this question segues us to this other area that you focus on. A big challenge that I've seen working with families is you get to this leadership transition. It occurs successfully on paper, but then in practice, it's really challenging because everyone looks to the matriarch or the patriarch to still run the show, and they're still showing up to the office every day, literally and figuratively. How do you work with them to have meaning and fulfillment once they actually do let go of the reins? Because probably, prototypically, this has been their identity for 30 or 40 years.
Right.
How do you help them be successful on the back end of this type of transition?
So it's really important to acknowledge their wisdom. So they're moving into an elder role. And this is something that our Western culture has really lost, is the importance of elders and the wisdom and advice that they can give because of their life experience. So acknowledging how important the elder role is and helping them to understand what that looks like so that their well-being, that they're healthy and happy and fulfilled, whatever that looks like. So each person has their own hobbies. And if they never had a hobby, this makes it very challenging. If their only activity was the job or the business, it makes it really challenging. So really helping them explore stuff that they might have overlooked or passed over because the business was or the family that was taking up all their time and energy, is that maybe there's some dream that they had that they never had a chance to look at before. But it needs to feel safe. So it's really important that they feel confident and can trust the next gen that they're doing a good job. So that's where that communication between the two generations is so critical. So that next gen is really asking the previous generation for advice. They need to do that to acknowledge the wisdom that's there. So that feels very good for the older generation, that they're being asked, well, what do you think about this? Is there anything that we're missing? So again, it comes back to a bit of humility from next gen to ask and not say, no, I want to do it differently. And I know better. And mom and dad don't know because they're, you know, they're old and they don't know what the world is like today. Well, yes, it's true that they've got new ideas and it's true that mom and dad are from a different generation, but it's the foundation of where you are at now. So don't ignore that foundation.
And I know from my own personal explorations, I think you made a really good point of not having hobbies or interests outside of the business. The real scary part is when you're 70 and then you've got to make this pivot suddenly.
Yeah.
As opposed to people that have been thoughtfully, you know, nurturing some type of passions outside of the business for the last 20 or 30 years. That's something that I've been trying to do to make sure that when that time does come, it's not stepping into the void.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing there. So if you didn't do that pre-work, it's really challenging. I think a sense of compassion, to go back to what we talked about earlier about how hard and scary this is for a lot of people when it's been their entire life and their entire identity wrapped up into this role and position. what that looks like on the other side of the chasm is just really scary.
It is. It is. And I have seen it where they had nothing and they just sit around watching TV. They go into a kind of a state of depression. And that's really sad. That's really sad. Yeah.
So what do we do about it? How do we help? Is it obviously working with them as early as possible, acknowledging the value that they brought to the enterprise, mm-hmm. putting them in a position to be successful, defining success for them. Mm-hmm. But I guess on some level, they have to do that personal work themselves in terms of defining what would be a meaningful life for them in this chapter of, or yes. season of life, broadly speaking, right?
100%. It is their choice. It's their life. It's their journey. It's their decision. We can have compassion for them. And the encouragement is to be in relation with them. And that comes from us as advisors, but also the kids, just to be in relation with them. And the kids can have compassion for the parents too. And it's also important to have clear boundaries. So we can have compassion for people, but we still need to have clear boundaries. And that's where if they're still trying to get into the operations where they're not supposed to be there, we want them in an advisory role, but not in an operational role, is to have very clear boundaries. And that's really challenging. So I have a whole section on principles of boundaries to help people understand.
So talk more about that.
Yeah.
What are best practices in terms of defining and holding strong on boundaries?
Yeah. So we start with ARAs. So authority, responsibility, and accountability. So get some clarity around that. And then how do you stay in that? So if you're in the family circle, you've got specific ARAs, operations and ownership, specific ARAs. So really, again, education about what does it mean? What is your responsibility in the family circle? What is your responsibility in the operations and ownership? And just practicing. So it's normal to cross the boundaries because it's a learning process. But when everybody understands, and we have this principle of being fair, firm, and friendly. So first of all, that we've got the established boundaries that are fair, and then we have to be firm about it, but we can be friendly. We don't have to get angry. We just say, listen, that's, you know, you just stepped on my grass and you need to, you know, step back, but do it in a very loving, compassionate way. So there's, again, there's no need to attack and there's no need to shut down. The fight, flight, freeze response doesn't need to be there because we have clarity.
Yeah. The term my wife has taught me is that won't work for me.
Yeah.
Like this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with you or the situation, but for my own personal life, whatever you proposed or whatever is happening, it's not working for me. I'll need to make some changes.
Yeah. 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 That's a great way of saying it. And the principle of boundary that would refer to is called OTFD. Open the front door is the way we remember it, but it stands for observation, thought, feelings, and desire. So the observation is you said or did something, my thought around that, my feeling around that, and what I would like is my desire. So you make a request. So that's where the negotiation comes in. And then there's another section on negotiation skills that I can teach if we get to that point. So I can teach them how to have healthy negotiations where it's about interest-based. It's all from the Harvard Negotiation Project where it's interest-based negotiation. So what are your interests, which is, you know, what are my desires? But the relationship, the communication is critical in getting to a good outcome, getting to that win-win result.
So if we take a step back and think big picture, what are the highlights to take away from this conversation? What questions should they be asking? What should they be aware of? With your breadth of knowledge and experience, what would the takeaways be here for you?
Wow, that's a big question. I think the biggest thing is that recognizing our humanity and really understanding what it means to be a human being and the complexity of that and having compassion for being human.
Easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I have a challenging interaction with somebody, and sometimes it's me being the challenge, I like to try to think that this person's having the worst day of their life. And what can I do to change that for them? Right. Coming at it from that assumption, I find to be helpful sometimes, but it does take practice like everything else.
Yeah.
But I think to end on a positive note, there is a growing awareness and appreciation for having consultants and professionals like yourself engage with these families to help facilitate these types of conversations, and hopefully it prevents further trauma for a lot of families. So, well, I want to thank you for joining us. If people are interested in learning more about the work you do, the piece that you co-authored, what's the best way for them to find out more?
So just go to my website, and there's some contact information on it to send me an email. And if they're interested in the paper, I can send them a copy of it.
Wonderful. Yeah. And for our listeners, please do leave us a review and a rating. Let us know your favorite part of the conversation. Monica, a question we ask everyone that comes on the show, do you have a personal practice that helps bring peace to your life?
Meditation.
Every day?
Every day. It's almost constant, actually. there's a meditation happening right now.
You're on some plane of consciousness other than this one. Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you again for joining us today, and keep up the good work. You're making a good difference for a lot of families, and I appreciate it, and best of luck moving forward.
Thanks, Brian.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.